Okay, so we're going to be doing Samach Beis, Daf Samach Beis, which is basically the beginning of the sixth perek. We finished the bottom of Samach Aleph and Beis with the first Mishnah in the sixth perek, which discusses the idea of if a Yid lives together with a Goy in the same chaser, in the same mavoi, whether or not they're able to make an Erev. And the Mishnah says, to Machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, according to Reb Meir, even if there's one Yid living together with a guy, it's already a problem. He can't make an Erev with the guy, and the guy can't be Mevatel as Rishos. So the only way to get around this, the only Eitzah, is to rent the space from the guy, as we'll see in the Gemara. According to Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, one Yid living with a guy is not going to be a problem. The problem only begins when you have two Yidden living in the Chatzar together. Then the fact that there's a guy living together with them is going to be a problem. That's basically, for the sake of this Gemara, what the Mishnah was discussing. So, the Gemara starts on the beginning of Samach Beis and Aleph. Yosef Abaya bar Abin, Rav Chinina bar Abin, they were sitting. The Yosef Abaya bar Abin, Abaya was sitting with them, the Yosef the Ka'amri, and they were saying the following, Rav Meir, I understand Rav Meir Shita that says one year already with a guy is a problem, because they think that they consider the fact that a guy lives there is already a problem. In other words, the guy's house is considered a real house, and the fact that he has a chotzer there makes it two different rishuyos. There's a house and a chotzer, and it's two different rishuyos. Vloishna chad, vloishna treis. So now it doesn't make a difference whether it's one yid, two yidin. The fact that there's two people, a guy and a yid, living in the same chotzer already creates two separate rishuyos, and you have a problem. So I understand Reb Meir's far. El Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, Michael says, but Reb Elozer ben Yaakov that says it's not a problem until you have two yidin there. What does he hold? If he says that the guy creates his house is a house and the chotzer is a separate rishos, so afilu chad nami nitzer. So then even one yid should already be a problem. The loishma dira, and if his house, a guy's house, is not considered a problem, afilu trei nami lo nitzer. So then the fact that there's two yid in there, the guy shouldn't add anything whatsoever. So why does that create a problem? In other words, you've been worried about Rav Elozer ben Yaakov. You thought everything made sense according to Rav Meir. Even according to Rav Meir, do you think according to Rav Meir that Diras Akum Shma Dira is? You think he does consider it a house? But Tani, we learned in a problem. We view the chaser of an Ovid Kachavim for the purposes over here. We mean the house also. That the house of the dwelling of a guy no different than an animal barn, and an animal barn. So therefore, it's not considered a real house, and it doesn't change the difference between a house and a chaser. So even according to Rav Meir, we don't understand why it should be usher. Ella the kuliyama. So we have a problem both according to Rav Meir and according to Rav Elozer ben Yaakov. What do we consider? What do we view the domain of the guy when it comes to the difference between a house and a chotzer? So the Gemara says, you're right. That has nothing to do with the machlokes over here. And as we're going to discuss later, everybody agrees that a guy doesn't really create necessarily the din of a dira, of a house. And by the way, Rashi points out, as we'll see in the Gemara later, that this is all talking about the fact that the guy is not home for Shabbat. So he's not home, and the question is whether his house and the chotzer are two separate rishuyot. So what's the issue over here? V'hacha b'gzeira shema yilmud b'maisiv kamiflagi. Here it has nothing to do with that. Here the problem is, were the rabbanon concerned that yidden living together with goyim, are they going to learn from their actions, and it's going to be a bad influence for the yid, and the rabbanon don't want the yidden living together with the goyim. So that's what they're arguing about. That's what they're kamiflagi. Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov savor kiven de'ovik kachavim choshed hashvichos damim. Since a guy is We're worried that a guy will kill the yid. So trade the shrichi, the diary. So when two yidden live together, so they in two separate houses, according to Rashi, that it's normal and it's typical that will happen. So gazrubu rabbanon. So the rabbanon had to make a gzeira, and they said, listen, we don't really want you living together with a guy, so we're going to make it difficult for you. Chad lo shrich. So, but one yid living together with goyim, since we know that he's always afraid for his life, like Ozer Bur Rabbanan, it's not normal for that. It's not usual and typical for it to be there. It's not shchiach, and it's not shchiach. So the Rabbanan never made the gezeira. Rav Meir. So that's according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Meir Savar. Rav Meir says similar to Mikra V'dayer. Says Rav Meir that, you know, sometimes it happens that a Yid lives there, and therefore the Rabbanan have to be worried about that case as well. Now, the Rashash points out that this is Rav Meir L'shitosu that says we're choshish for a miyut. So even though it is only a miyut, it's very unusual for it to happen that one Yid is going to live among goyim, but it could happen. So therefore, Rav Meir says we still make the gezeirah. Now, what do we make the gezeirah? We say we don't want. We have to consider the goy's house to be considered a real house, and therefore it's a different rishus. So you have to make an eruv. So what's the eitzah? Amar Rabbanan ein eruv moyo b'mokim akum. So we say that you can't do a regular eruv. You can't be mishtateh with a goy. Vein bittul rishus moyo b'mokim akum. And you also can't be mevatel your rishus. And certainly a goy can't be mevatel his rishus. Ad shayizkar until you rent it from him. So the only eitzah is to rent it. So how does this help you? Va'akum loy moigir. And a goy is not going to be willing to rent. Is not going to be willing to rent his rishus to the yid, so you're not going to have any yitzah, so it's going to end up that the yid is going to have to move out of his house. My timer, what is the reason that a guy typically would not want to rent his rishus out to a yid? So the guy is going to say, well, the yid is going to take over my rishus, he's going to take over my property. If that's what the guy is worried about, so then it depends on what kind of rental arrangements you need to make. According to the Mandi Yomar, that says you need a proper rental. So then I understand what the guy is worried about. But according to the Mandi Yomar, that says you don't really need to do a real rental anyway, as we'll see, not a real arrangement. So then what are you afraid of? Why would the guy not be willing to rent it out to you in this lowly, you know, this slight level of schirus? What is the good and the bad of schiris that we're talking about? The Itmar, because we learned Rav Chista Amar schiris beriya, Rav Sheshes Amar schiris ruah. So machlokes Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes whether it's a good schiris or a bad schiris. My ruah, my beriya. What is bad and what is good? So Gemara says Ilema beriya. The fruit. If you want to suggest that beriya means that you're going to use a full pruta, you're going to pay real value for it. Ruah papachas mishava pruta, and ruah means you're going to pay even less than a shava pruta. You're not going to give real money, so the guy doesn't really consider it a real rental. So miyik alamandi yomer meyakam papachas mishava pruta loy. Is there anybody who holds that less than a shava pruta by a guy doesn't work? Vaha, but we learned shalach Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yaakov bar Giura mishmeidi Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yaakov sent in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Have yodin shasoichrin mina akum. I feel the befachas mishava pruta that schiris works even less than a shava pruta. So you cannot explain the difference between a good schiris and a bad schiris to be the difference between a pruta versus less than a shava pruta. That cannot be how we would explain the difference. First of all, a guy, if he steals less than a shava pruta, so he is not he is chayef for it, even less than a shava pruta. In other words, the point that the Gemara is trying to make here is that there is no difference between a pruta and less than a shava pruta when it comes to a goy. For a goy, it's all the same. As Rashi says, and the other Rishonim, the Riff also says, that the Rabbeinu Yonison on the Riff says, that a goy cares about even less than a shava pruta, so he's not moichel. So for him, it's real money. So if you steal less than a shava pruta from a goy, or a goy steals that amount, he's already doing a real geneva. And also, on top of that, v'lo yinitin la'ashoven, and there's no way to get out of it. By it, if you steal something, you can give it back. And it's a lavanitic lase. By a guy, you don't have that concept, and therefore, even stealing less than a shava pruta is considered real money. In any event, you cannot explain the difference between a good rental and a bad rental based on a pruta and less than a shava pruta, because for a guy, there is no difference. Even less than a shava pruta is the same. Ella, so how do we explain the difference? Bria b'morki v'aborgani. Good means that you're able to put, according to Rashi, this means putting benches or jars inside the rishos, meaning you're going to take over the rishos. And ru'ua b'loy morki v'aborgani. And ru'ua means that you don't really have real rights in the rishos. You just say, you kind of just make up, oh, it'll be as if I have rights in the rishos, and that's enough. So, in any event, that gets us back to the question. So, according to the Mandi Yama, says that you absolutely need a proper schirus, so the guy isn't going to want to rent that to you because he's afraid you're going to take over his property. But if you don't really need to do anything, you just sort of discuss it with the guy. Why wouldn't a guy be willing to rent it to a yid? So how did the Rabbanan prevent you from living with a guy? So the Gemara says, "Afilu hachi chashash atam l'kshafim." The difference is that the guy is always worried that a yid is going to do kishuf, is going to do black magic, so he's not going to want to rent it. Especially when a yid approaches him and says, "I'm going to give you a half a penny, and that's going to be our rental agreement," the guy is very suspicious of that, and he's like, "No, I'm not doing that." For no reason. He just choishes that something funny is going on, and he's not going to rent it out. In any event, what that's going to cause is that the guy is not going to be willing to do this rental arrangement for the yid, and he's not going to be able to make an eruv. He's not going to be able to live there. So we see, so that's how the Rabbanan caused that a yid won't live together among goyim. Now, where did they make this gezeirah? So the Gemara says, "Gufo, let's learn the Mishnah." On the one hand, we say that the house of a goy is really not really significant. It's no different than a barn where animals live. And it's mutter, therefore, to carry from the goy's house into the chaser. From the house to the chaser. So in other words, there is no difference. It's not considered a different rishus. The im ye sham yisrael. In other words, if I happen to this, it's a courtyard that belongs totally to goyim. If I happen to be in the house of a goy over Shabbos, I'm allowed to carry without a problem. The im ye sham yisrael echad. But if there's another yid living in that courtyard, so then also different Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, already now the goy's house, we're making gezeira to consider it as if it's a real house and therefore a different rishus, and we make it also. Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov says, no, even if one yid is living there, it still doesn't change the status of considering the house a house and a chatzar a chatzar, and therefore it's not also until you have two yidin there. Once you have two yidin, now we're ready to Rabbanan say, we're going to consider it as if it's a house in order to make the chatzar also. The Gemara continues on top of Salach Beis Medalas. Omar Mar, Chatzer Shal Akum Harehu Kadir Shal Behema. So we just said this concept that for a guy's house is considered like a barn, and it's no difference between the yid doesn't make the guy's house aser. Oh, v'hatnan, v'anan tnan, we learned Hadarma Akum B'chotzer Hareze Oyser Olav. We learned that when a yid lives together with the guy, it already makes the guy's house aser also. Oh, sorry, the guy's house makes the yid, makes it, because the guy is there, it makes it that the yid's house is also aser. So the Gemara answers, this is what I mentioned before, loy kasha hadisa hadalesa. So it depends on whether the guy is present for Shabbos. You're right. If the guy is actually present, everybody agrees that now we have a problem and the yid cannot carry from his house into the chaser. However, when the guy is not home, if he's not home for Shabbos, so then it's not going to be a problem and his house doesn't count to create a different rishos. However, umaykosavar, what does he hold about whether or not being present makes a difference? If you hold that a house is a house regardless of whether somebody lives there, so then what difference does it make whether the guy is here or not? If a house is a house, then it should be usher. Meaning, of course, if a yid's house is always a house, but the point is, even a guy, if he's not here, should be usher. And if you hold that when you're not there, the house doesn't have a din of a bias, So then, when a yid who owns a house and the property, if he's not home, it shouldn't be a problem. So the Gemara says, so really, we hold that when you're not home, and we're talking about, as Rashi explains, we're not home in a way that you're not going to be able to get home on Shabbos. You're in a faraway place; you can't get home on Shabbos. So it's not really considered a house. The Yisrael, so it's really not a house. However, the problem is like this: Yisrael d'chiya isa oser. When he is there, it creates a problem. So kilesa. So when he's not there, so gazrubar rabbonim. So the rabbonim made a gezeira, because when you're there, it's a problem. So we're going to make the gezeira now, also even when you're not there. However, akum dechi isa gezeira, the guy that even when he is there, it's not really a house. It's just a gezeira that we're going to make it into a house, so that he can make it aser. But really, be'etzem, it's not really a house. So and the whole why is the gezeira shema yoma mimaisa? Because we're afraid that you're going to learn from him, so therefore we make it aser, even though really technically it's not aser. So therefore ki isa aser. So when he's there, we have a reason to make a gzeira. Ki lasa loy aser. When he's not there, there's no reason to make a gzeira, so we're not going to make it aser anyway. So the Gemara says ki lasa loy. So you're now telling me that when he's not there, it's not a problem. The guy doesn't make anything aser. Ki lasa loy aser. He doesn't make it aser. But now we learned in the Mishnah, We learned, we actually mentioned this before, Aniach is based on somebody who leaves his house for Shabbos. And he went to live in a different house, in a different city for Shabbos. Echod Nochi ve'echod Yisrael Oyser. You remember? That whether it's a Yid or a Goy, they are going to be Oyser, even though they're not here. So you see that even when a Goy is not here, it's going to be Oyser. So the Gemara answers, Hosam to Oyser b'yomei. Over there we're talking about where he's away for Shabbos, but he's not that far away, so he can always come. And we're afraid that if we make it mutter for you to use the property while he's away, he's going to end up showing up in the middle of Shabbos, and you're not going to realize, and you're going to end up continuing to use the property even when he comes back, and that's for sure usher. So we say, you know what, if there's a possibility he may come back on Shabbos, so we have to assume for the entire Shabbos that he's going to be there. The only time it's going to be mutter is if he's that far away that he can't possibly, that we know for sure it's not Shabbos that he's going to come back on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halocha K'Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov. So we're going to pasken like Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov, primarily because, well, we'll see, the Gemara says, because we always pasken like him, but also, over here, because we always go Lekula. So in other words, when one Yid lives there, it's not going to be a problem until you get to two Yidden living together with a guy. But we pasken that way. As Rashi explains, we pasken that way in the Beis Medrash, we get up in Darshan. Rav Huna Amar Minug, K'Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov, means if somebody comes to ask you personally what we do, we tell them that's the Minug, that's what we do, but we won't Darshan this. We won't darshan this in public. Rav Yerchan Amar, no, Guam Kurev Elozer ben Yaakov. He says, you know what? If somebody comes to ask, we don't even say that we paskin this way. However, if people are noyeg this way, in other words, they're mekel with only one yid, we're not going to stop them. We'll say, okay, if you did it, it's fine. Amar Le Abaya, the Rav Yosef, Kaim Alon, Mishas Rav Elozer ben Yaakov Kavanaki. We hold Rashi the way Rashi explains, based on this Gemara, that whenever Rav Elozer ben Yaakov doesn't say too much in the Gemara, but whenever he does say something, it always is kav, it's straight. Benaki, and it's clean, meaning it's always a very straightforward and simple halacha, and we always follow that. So we paskin, therefore we paskin like Rav Elozer ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara changes topic here in general. Mahu la'aruye b'mokoim raboy. Now what's the halacha about a student, a Talmud, paskining generally in front of his Rebbe, in the presence of his Rebbe, or as we'll see, even not necessarily in the presence of his Rebbe? So, what is the halacha? Is there anything wrong with that? Amalei, so they asked, so Amalei, so he answered, this is Afilu, I'm not sure who's talking over here. Amalei, so he answered, Afilu bi Yisusa bikutcha bon minei Merav Chista. They asked Rav Chista, Kol Shnei de Rav Huna, while Rav Huna was alive, they asked him, what's the halacha about eating? Machlokes Rashi tells us what exactly the case is, but Rashi's shot is that it's simply eating an egg with cheese. That we know the halacha is that an egg is parv, and it's a very straightforward halacha. So they asked him whether or not it would be mutter to eat that with cheese. B'loy Eiri, and he didn't want a paskin. When Rav Huna was alive, when his Rebbe was alive, he didn't want a paskin. So we see even simple things like that, which is very straightforward. Rav Chista didn't want to paskin as long as his Rebbe was alive. In other words, the Gemara is saying that a Talmud should not paskin in front of his Rebbe. Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Abba le'Abaye k'goyin Megillas Tainis t'chsiva uman chamahu la'aruyei. What about, you just said that a general thing that's very simple. What about something that it's written? So Rashi explains that the only halachas that were written in those days were Megillas Tainis, which is the list, the way Rashi learns, is the list of which days they used to fast on. So again, it's something that was written down. So it's not even a chiddush. So ma'ala ruye ba'asrei de rabbi. Can you paskin that? Now here the Gemara changes a little bit. In the city of your Rebbe, something that's written down, so you're not being mechadish anything. Can you paskin that in the city of your Rebbe? So again, the Gemara says amalei hachi amar. This is Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba to Abaye talking. So Abaye answers hachi amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef taught us afilu bekutcha afilu beyusa bekutcha b'loy minei merav chista kol shnei de rav huna b'loy ayri. That again, they would even ask Rav Chista the simple halacha of cheese with eggs, and he wouldn't paskin in front of Rav Huna. So again, even though it's not actually, this case is not, it's slightly different, it's not written, but it's very obvious, it's very straightforward what the halacha is, and he didn't want to paskin. So he was using that same concept, that even if something is obvious, we don't paskin. Rav Chista, however, Oiri b'kif b'kafri, b'shnei de Rav Huna. This till now, but Rav Chista, when he was very far away, he would paskin b'kafri in one city, even though Rav Huna was alive in another city. Rav Huna Oiri b'charto, the top of Samach Chimel Amad Aleph, we'll do one line here. Oiri b'charto da Arges, he would paskin in the city of Charto da Arges, in the city of Charto, rather, B'shnei the Rav Chista, the name in the while Rav Chista was alive. All right, so we'll pick up this concept. We'll pick up this concept next week with Samach Kimel Amaral. But it's very interesting. I saw the Shulchan Gibayim says that the only time it's usher to paskin in front of your Rebbe, because this is very negay, everybody's constantly asking their friend, what should I do over here? And his friend says, oh, it's in the Mishnah Berurah, it's very easy, you know. So, but there's a Rebbe, you shouldn't be paskining. So first of all, there's a whole issue about what kind of Rebbe we're talking about over here. We're talking about a Rebbe Muvhak, we're talking about a Gadol Hador, we're talking about those kinds of paskin. We're not talking about, you know, somebody you met yesterday and he told you halacha that therefore he has the status of a Rebbe. So that's not the kind of Rebbe we're discussing here. In other words, the Gemara is discussing a Rebbe Muvhak, but the Shulchan Gibayim says something interesting. He's saying that the only time it's usher is if the psak that you give would be a chiddush to the person asking the shiloh. So if it's a chiddush to the person asking the shiloh, so then you have to be careful that you don't make those kind of statements in front of your Rebbe, because if it's a chiddush, let your Rebbe tell the chiddush. But if it's something that wouldn't be a chiddush, that everybody knows the halacha, that there's no question about it, it's just, you know, he wanted to make sure that he's doing the right thing type of question, so then even a Rebbe, even a Talmud B'makom Rebbe, that's not considered paskin. That's just kind of being, you know, reminding him, alerting him to what everybody already knows, so that it's going to be mutter. That's what the Shulchan Gibayim says.